May it please God to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls this evening, where we part of the second chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, and reading from verse 1 down to verse 16. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of godliness, form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. Well, may God bless us this evening as we turn once again to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and the fourth chapter. And this evening we'll read verses 13 and 14. So the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, reading verses 13 and 14. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This should be to the Church of God a very wonderful statement, because the Apostle is here directing us to that wonderful time when there will be that complete unity of the Church of God. And that will come about, of course, when everyone is joined together in that place of glory. And there will be no arguments. There will be nothing to separate. There will be no dissension. There will be nobody trying to obtain the upper hand. There will be nothing that will distress us. No one will be desiring to be better than another, but we will rejoice together at what the Saviour has done. It's really something which is quite hard for us to appreciate as we walk on the earth, because we find that sin possesses us and sin influences us in our mind, in our words, in our actions. But to think in that place of glory, there will be no such thing. There will be nothing that will come into our mind which will produce any evil, any jealousy, any pride. All that will be away from us and will not be allowed to penetrate into that holy place of glory. And so that time will come till we all come, all the children of God, everyone, different denominations, different countries, different languages. There will be this time of unity of the faith, because we will all possess that great and glorious gift of faith which the Lord gives, which we could never produce ourselves. But we should be very thankful to know that we shall rejoice, every one of us, in that faith which God has given. And we will not be jealous of anyone, because any jealousy is sinful. We won't have proud of our own ability, because every vestige of pride is sinful. And so we can look forward to that great day. The Church of God is divided on the earth at the present time, so often divided with very small issues, we might say often irrelevant issues. And yet you see, the devil's great aim is to separate the brethren. That's what he endeavours to do. He always has, and he always will, down to the end of time. And we should be very aware of that. And we should remind him that the Lord has said, there will be a time coming when there will be complete unity. And the devil won't be there. And the devil won't be allowed to come in and disturb us. No, it will be peace and praise eternally. Well, here we have then a statement here to encourage us in this place. And it's good for us to ponder it and to meditate upon it, that we might be encouraged by it. Till we all come, the whole Church of God, no one will be omitted, and everyone indeed will be like-minded, seeking to praise and to glorify their great and glorious God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You see, we have some knowledge, not very much, and some of us have different knowledge one to another. The Lord reveals certain things to one and certain things to another. We're not always favoured to enjoy all the same knowledge. But there will be that great day when we will all come to this wonderful knowledge of the Son of God. And you see, in that situation, there will be unto a perfect man. A perfect man doesn't exist on this earth. But the perfect man or perfect woman will exist in the world to come. And it is a wonderful prospect to look forward to, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, we know, I hope we know, there is a great and glorious fullness in Christ. By his grace, we partake of a little of it while we're on this earth. And we must partake of a little of it, because it is one of the evidences of the grace of God in our heart. But then there will be that fullness of Christ, because all will be revealed. It's a wonderful thought, is it not? As you and I travel through this earth with so many things to upset us, many things to cast us down, chiefly our own selves, but to realise then there will be that time when we come to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Well, the fullness of Christ is a prospect which is difficult for us to comprehend here in this earth at the present time. And he goes on to tell us that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, we recognise, surely, that these situations are the devil's agents to try and cause us to turn away from the great and glorious truth of God. But you see, here we are, and as the Bible tells us, we need to become as little children to learn very simply. And there are those things whereby we are tossed to and fro. Sometimes we're faced with difficult things and we're really not sure what the answer is. And we're tossed to and fro. And then sometimes we're carried about with every wind of doctrine. People produce new ideas, new thoughts. It always has been. And yet, you see, when that time comes, all these things will be done away. There won't then be these scenes where people are carried about with the wind which blows one way and then blows another. We've seen the Church of God down through the ages blown one way and then blown the other by this doctrine and that doctrine. Bless God, the time will come when that will be history totally. There will be unity in the great doctrines of God, the great doctrines of Christ. There won't be any arguments, because there will be union with Christ. How many arguments there are today, often in petty things, but I think, you see, then there won't be any arguments, because we'll all be in agreement with the great and glorious gospel, the great and glorious salvation, the great and blessed Saviour, the great and glorious Father, and the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it will be cause for wonderful praise throughout eternity. He goes on, by the sleight of men. Well, we know men are deceivers, and men say things cunningly to deceive. The sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Sometimes we're taken in. We are but sinners of the earth, and but by the grace of God we shall go down these paths. And as he concludes this little statement, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Come back to the Garden of Eden, the great deceiver. The devil has never changed. He's the same today. His great plan, his great desire is to deceive the Church of God. Well, we may be in measure deceived. We will never be finally deceived. And when we get to glory by the grace of God, there will be no deception there. No deceit at all. Everything will be pure and honest and praise to God. Well, these are good thoughts, aren't they? They're good to ponder. They're good to rejoice in. There's much to be sorrowful about, but there is a great and wonderful prospect to the Church of God. And may we therefore look forward to that time when we will come, by God's grace, be found part of this great heavenly throng, as these words speak, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, may the Lord instruct us and bless us with such considerations. Let's continue now by singing together hymn number 567.